common sense commentary on politics, culture, and current events. If it's on your mind, it's In the News. And now, In the News, with your host, Mike Dakak.
So I've reached out to everyone that I can think of on this story. Just a brief list. I've reached out to members of Congress, both parties, both chambers. I've reached out to the Department of Justice, to the State Department, the U.S. Embassy in Rome, Leonardo Global, Leonardo USA. Leonardo is a giant billion-dollar defense contractor, the eighth largest in the world, I believe I read somewhere. They're into aerospace, they're into defense, they're into weapons, they're into cybersecurity. Think our version of, or their version of our Lockheed Martin or Raytheon or somebody along those lines. I reached out to Leonardo Global, Leonardo USA. They have a subsidiary here in the USA that's led by a retired U.S. military officer. Reached out to Senator Hawley, Senator Kennedy, the EU Military Commission, Representative Schiff, Gohmert, Pelosi, Schumer. I've gotten not one reply. And I don't mean a no comment, or I don't mean we've never heard anything. I don't mean anything off the record. Usually when offices have nothing for you, a communications director or a press secretary will be nice enough to get back to you and say, hey, listen, Mike, I've got nothing more than what's already public. But off the record, this, and this. I've gotten nothing. The silence is eerie. It's deafening. So much has happened this week. I wasn't ready to publish on my usual day yesterday. But we had the certification of the elections. Trump still hasn't conceded, though. It's an open question whether he will. And it's still an open question, despite everything that's going on, whether or not he's actually going to leave and whether or not Biden is going to be inaugurated. A lot of people are starting to lose hope, but I still believe that it's an open question. And the reason he hasn't conceded and the reason he may not be leaving may have something to do with the story. You know, we've been saying all along that it's Germany. There was, you know, these wild rumors of CIA shootouts, good CIA members against bad CIA members or other FBI officials or other military officials, U.S. military officials, having shootouts at server farms in Germany. It turns out it's been Italy this entire time. The operation to manipulate the votes, at least that's according to the information that we're getting now, it's been Italy all along. The operation to manipulate the votes was carried out in Rome, we're hearing now. And not just any old location in Rome, but the U.S. Embassy in Rome. The story goes that operatives from various intelligence agencies, including the CIA, British MI6, and the Italian military, manipulated the votes and then beamed them back using military satellites to voting machines in the states. And the story goes that a State Department employee, a man by the name of Stefano Serafini, who's a 25-year foreign service agent, along with these operatives at all of these various agencies, got together on the second floor of the U.S. Embassy in Rome on election night. And they captured the votes as they were coming in. We thought it was Frankfurt, but again, they were just passing through the servers in Frankfurt, apparently, and they went on to a couple of locations in Italy. And the votes were captured as they were coming in. The algorithms were changed. Again, Trump got so many votes that it broke the kind of formula. They had to stop the vote counting on election night and kind of recalibrate. And that's what happened. Remember that there's a six-hour difference between here and Italy. So stopping the vote count at 9 or 10 at night puts it early in the morning, Italy time. And then they sent the votes back. These revised algorithms, they sent them back using military satellites owned and operated by Leonardo. This story, it sounds kind of fantastical when you first hear about it, until you hear that it's been all over the Italian media for weeks. It's a huge scandal over there. And as soon as I heard that, my ears perked up. And I said, this is something that has to be looked into. So this isn't scuttlebutt. It's actually a huge scandal over there. Italians are livid that they may have had something to do with interference in our election. And a person, a figure who's at the center of this scandal is a man by the name of Claudio Graziano. He's a general in the Italian army, and not just any old general. He's actually a pretty big deal in Italy. He's like their David Petraeus. I think I would kind of make that analogy. Our general David Petraeus, Graziano is like their version. He's a lifelong military man. And he's now being accused of being at the center of the scandal, an operation to manipulate votes in the U.S. general election on November 3rd in order to throw the election to Joe Biden. Graziano, oh, by the way, is a board member of Leonardo. He's a four-star general. He's led operations in Africa on behalf of the United Nations. In 2001, he was posted to Washington, D.C. as military attaché. He was deployed to Afghanistan in the mid-2000s. Between 2007 and 2010, he led the UN mission in Lebanon. He's been all over the world. Globalist, you could say, or at least globalist assignments or missions throughout his entire career. In December 2011, he was appointed chief of staff of the Italian army. 2015, assumed the role of chief of the Italian defense general staff. 2018, Graziano was selected as chairman of the European Union Military Committee. He oversees all of the EU's troops. And he seems to have a globalist philosophy, at least from what we know. In February 2020, Graziano advocated for increased military intervention in Libya, saying he never saw war so close to the door of Europe. Last November, in the midst of all this pandemic that China either wittingly or unwittingly unleashed on the entire world, he suggested a role for the EU to play in mediating tensions between the US and China, maybe as a play against Trump. And now he stands of being accused, he stands accused of being at the center of one of the biggest scandals in history. So this has been reported in Italy for weeks, literally more than a month now. It broke there in early December. And one of the people in the operation, a head of an IT department at Leonardo, was conned. Well, conned may be a strong word, but was pulled in, it sounds like, unwittingly into this operation because he's now come forward. After he figured out what happened, he came forward with his allegations. His lawyer signs an affidavit saying it's all true. He said this gentleman was working out of a location in Pescara, Italy. Pescara is 2 hours east of Rome. It's on the eastern coast of Italy. And on election night, this gentleman says that he undertook the operation to switch data from the U.S. election on November 3rd from a significant margin of victory for Donald Trump to Joe Biden, switched them to Joe Biden in a number of states where Joe Biden was losing the vote totals. And this gentleman says he was working in the Pescara facility of Leonardo. He utilized military-grade cyber warfare encryption capabilities to transmit switched votes via military satellite to Frankfurt, Germany. And the defendant, this person, he's actually testified or due to testify in Italian court, swears that the data, in some cases, may have been switched to represent more than total voters registered. And he said that he's willing to testify to all the individuals and entities involved in the switching of the votes from Trump to Biden, if he's offered total protection for himself and his family. He's also said, perhaps most importantly, or most consequentially, that he has, in an undisclosed location, the backup of all the original data. He's made backups of all the data, the original data and the data that it was switched to. And he's willing to provide that in a court of law. Now, that's directly from an affidavit that his lawyer submitted. And this supposedly all took place in the U.S. Embassy in Rome. Now, the U.S. ambassador to Italy is a man by the name of Louis Eisenberg. Eisenberg is a former partner at Goldman Sachs. So that should tell you just about everything you need to know there. Globalist banker. He runs in those circles. Was dead set against Trump during the 2016, from what I understand, and all of a sudden became a supporter of his. He was confirmed as ambassador to Italy in August 2017. Now, who does that remind you of? There's a gentleman by the name of Gordon Sondland who played a pivotal role in Trump's impeachment, right? He was also against Trump early on in the campaign in 2016. Then he had a change of heart, I guess, bundled about $1 million to contribute to Trump and his campaign in 2016 and bought himself, basically, more or less, an ambassadorship. He became the ambassador to the EU. Sondland is the gentleman that was sitting in that cafe in Ukraine and was called Donald Trump from the cell phone in a public place in the middle of a cafe in Kiev. And Donald Trump was speaking so loudly that he couldn't possibly keep the phone to his ear. He had to hold the phone out at arm's length because Donald Trump was speaking so loudly just so everyone can hear the conversation. And then when the conversation switched from Ukraine to Switzerland, then apparently Donald Trump was speaking in a regular volume, so he was able to put the phone back to his ear. So it seems like maybe this guy Eisenberg is cut from the same cloth. Now, Eisenberg has also been friendly with the brass at Leonardo during his stint as ambassador. You know, when you're, and there's nothing unusual about being an ambassador that's friendly with business sectors in the country that you're in. But he attended many functions with a man by the name of Gianni De Gennaro. De Gennaro is a lifelong lawman in Italy, kind of like their Elliot Ness, maybe even their Rudy Giuliani, but I guess with different intentions. He gained notoriety fighting organized crime, which in Italy is no easy task. De Gennaro was the first person Eisenberg thanked, for example, when starting his remarks at the Transatlantic Forum on Russia in October 2019. De Gennaro invited Eisenberg to speak at the event, and Eisenberg made several remarks critical of Russia. "Russia's record over the past several years is not a good one," he began. "We cannot turn a blind eye to Russia's violations of the borders as they have to do with Crimea and Ukraine and on and on and on." De Gennaro, interestingly, was also the head of Leonardo from 2013 until 2020. Now, Eisenberg has toured many Leonardo plants. There's a lot of press clippings in on the internet of him doing so. In the time De Gennaro was the head of the firm, Leonardo apparently has contracts to build fuselage sections of U.S.-based Boeing aircraft. It doesn't end there. Gianni De Gennaro, the former head of Leonardo, was given the FBI's highest award in December 2006 for cooperation with the agency. The award was given to Gennaro by the head of the bureau at the time, one Robert Mueller. Mueller, of course, would go on to serve as special counsel investigating the claims of collusion between the 2016 Trump campaign and the Russian government. Then De Gennaro went after the mafia in Italy, as I've mentioned. Those operations led him to start and maintain a decades-long relationship with the FBI, which earned De Gennaro the FBI's Medal of Meritorious Achievement. It recognizes, quote, courageous and selfless acts that protect and save the lives of others. It was the first time that award was given to one of the FBI's international partners. Now, De Gennaro was appointed head of Leonardo, as I said, in July 2013. Many politicians in Italy objected to De Gennaro's appointment because of the role he played in a raid on an anti-globalist journalist group's headquarters in Genoa in 2001. Police attacked the building's occupants. They caused dozens to be seriously injured, including three that were put in critical condition, one in a coma. Prisoners were taken to temporary detention facilities and were allegedly tortured and humiliated before being released. That was also a big scandal in Italy. The raid resulted in the trial of 125 policemen, including managers and supervisors. De Gennaro was head of the Italian police at the time. Now, De Gennaro was replaced as head of Leonardo in May 2020 by a man named Luciano Carta. Carta is the former chief of AISE, Italy's Foreign Intelligence Service, their version of the CIA. But De Gennaro's tenure means he was head of the firm during the origins of the Spygate scandal as well, and during Mueller's time as special counsel. Mueller handed down dozens of indictments for Russian nationals. You recall this? Even though evidence now exists that it was known at the time that all of those allegations and all of those accusations were debunked. But he indicted dozens of Russian nationals. No indictments were handed down for anyone in Italy, including for Joseph Mifsud, the professor at the center of the origin of the Spygate scandal. He's the professor who looked up George Papadopoulos, who was the foreign policy advisor to the Trump campaign at the time, and told him, slipped it in the middle of a conversation, you know, the Russians have plenty of dirt on Hillary Clinton in the form of emails. That little seed that was planted would become the Russia scandal that would occupy all of the oxygen in the country for the next 2 or 3 years. And so the more you pull on the string, the Italian connection gets more intriguing, the more you do so. Former Attorney General Bill Barr, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, CIA Director Gina Haspel, all visited Rome, Italy, within weeks of each other in the late summer, early fall of 2019. Barr actually visited twice. And there's evidence floating around out there that at least one of those trips by one of those individuals wasn't previously scheduled. Barr visited Rome on August 15th and then again on September 27th, just weeks apart. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo visited on October 2nd. Haspel, just a week later, on October 9th. Now, Barr had reportedly been investigating allegations of the possible involvement of Italian intelligence officers or other officers from other agencies acting within Italy in Spygate, the beginnings of the investigation of collusion between the 2016 Trump campaign and the Russian government. Italian Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte reportedly assured Barr that no such involvement took place. But as Italian journalists have pointed out, if Conte proved to Barr on September 24th that nothing happened in Italy in 2016, why did CIA Director Haspel come to Rome 2 weeks later? Was she trying to get to the bottom of something, or was she trying to make sure that no one else got to the bottom of something? And so this woman, there's a woman named Maria Stroller-Zack. She's the chairwoman of NationsInAction.org. NationsInAction.org is an organization here in Florida. It's a government accountability advocacy group. She says that she delivered this affidavit with all of this information and more to several representatives on Capitol Hill. None of them have made any public comments. As a CIA station chief of 25 years emailed me just this morning, he said that's partial confirmation. And so where does that leave us? You know, Congress rushed to certify the results on Wednesday night. All of the violence that happened in the Capitol, by the way, was staged, but you know that already. They purposefully got members of Antifa and anarchists to infiltrate the pro-Trump protesters and kind of incite, blend in with them and incite the violence. You got a bunch of them that want to storm the Capitol. You're going to get a few Trump supporters as well to go along with the mob to follow the crowd. But mostly it was Antifa. There's facial recognition. That's not just my opinion. There's facial recognition technology that confirms that for us, the reports of that have been made public. There's intelligence that confirms that for us from congressmen and women that they had before in the days leading up to January 6th that told them that this was going to happen. Now, why did they do that? Why did Antifa do that? And why did the people pulling the strings of Antifa order them to do that? So they can then provide political cover. That violence, the purpose of it, who benefited from that violence? It wasn't the MAGA crowd. It wasn't Trump supporters. It certainly wasn't President Trump. He's about to get impeached again. The reason it was done is so it could provide political cover for the globalist Republicans to vote to certify and still maintain some political credibility. They needed a smokescreen. And immediately after the vote, the very next day, what happened? You started hearing all this talk about the 25th Amendment. If Joe Biden won this election, he's about to be inaugurated. Trump is leaving, like in a week. Why do we have to invoke the 25th Amendment and have him removed forcibly? Why does he have to be impeached? Now, Zach told Debbie Gorgados that actually 17 states were impacted. It's not just the swing states. Now, Zach also revealed that Georgia Republican Governor Brian Kemp has been aware of whistleblower evidence of election fraud for weeks. This evidence, as a matter of fact, Zach is originally from Georgia, apparently, and she's actually run for office in Fulton County. For the state legislature there. And so she knows a lot of the players there. She knows Kemp. They ran together in neighboring districts years ago. And Kemp has been harshly criticized by many conservative media outlets. I've been relentless in my criticism of him. I've called him a compromised. I've said he's blackmailed. Every name in the book over his apparent inaction on election fraud in Georgia. Zach says he was just being judicious. That Kemp has been waiting patiently for the proof to get to him. And that's what a lot of people didn't understand, she said. He knew that we were working on something big. I can tell you that he's a godly man, she says, and he's going to do the right thing. This is a game changer. This is the proof he's wanted all along. He actually knew more than every American. So the joke's kind of on the people who attacked him because he knew something was in the works, she said. And so the end run is going to happen now. Either they're going to seal this victory, or we're going to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. Well, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have any thoughts on any of the issues we discussed, drop me a line. You can reach me at comments@itnshow.com. That's comments@itnshow.com. Thanks again for listening, everyone. Until next time, take care of yourselves.
If it's on your mind, it's in the news. Subscribe to In the News on both iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. This has been In the News.